Hello, today is August 1st, and you're listening to SearchCRM.com's Voices of CRM podcast. I'm Barney Beal, news director for the site. Today we're talking with Zach Nelson, CEO of NetSuite, one of the pioneers in selling CRM via the software as a service model. Unlike competitors, Salesforce.com and Right Now Technologies, NetSuite began in the front office, eventually adding CRM functionality. All right, Zach, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So NetSuite originally started as NetLedger, correct?
That's right.
Maybe you could talk to our listeners a bit about the decision to start the company with offering back office software first.
Yeah, the company was founded in 1998. Evan Goldberg, who's still our chairman and CTO, went to Larry Ellison, and he'd worked with Larry at Oracle, of course, and they were talking about Evan's new company, and he had a company that had just gone out of business for a variety of competitive reasons, and Larry asked him what he wanted to do next. And having run a small mid-sized business himself, he started complaining about how hard it was to manage that business. You know, you have a support system here, a sales system there, an accounting system here, a website, all these disparate systems, and none of them communicated. It was almost impossible for Evan to find out what was going on in his business. And so after sort of lamenting that with Larry, Larry said, I have an idea. Why don't you go build an application that solves that problem, that problem of disintegrated systems? And so as they began to look at that problem, how to build an integrated application to run a small or mid-sized business, it became clear that the first application that you had to build was the accounting application, because it was the most, first of all, it was the most complex of the applications to build, and secondly, the accounting application is really the system of record in most companies. So by building that first, it enabled you to build the CRM application and the website application, the support application, to integrate with the accounting data to leverage that data more easily if you built the accounting application first. So that was the birth of then NetLedger. As the company built out the suite and moved well beyond accounting to this broader strategy of building an application to run a business, we changed our name to NetSuite to really look more at a business management application rather than a point product that was designed just to manage CRM or just to manage accounting.
Sure, and you had planned to be on demand the whole time, correct?
Yeah. So the two big ideas, first big idea, build an integrated system to run a business, and the second big idea was to deliver that software as a service rather than on a disk. But it's sort of interesting that I think our core strategic differentiator, while on demand is the only way we deliver our software, the real strategic differentiator of NetSuite is the fact that we've built this integrated application suite. We happen to deliver it on demand, so the combination of those two pieces is very powerful.
Yeah, well, that sort of leads me into my next question. I mean, in terms, at least the CRM vendors in the on-demand market seem to be taking slightly different approaches. I mean, Salesforce has been talking a lot lately about being an on-demand platform. Right now, kind of with its origins in the contact center, is more of a knowledge-based approach. And then the on-premise guys, you know, like Siebel and SAP, they're talking about this hybrid on-premise, on-demand model. Can you contrast your approach with theirs a little bit more?
Yeah, I think if you look at the core business strategy of whether do you build a point product or do you build a suite of applications as the first point, you know, the challenge with point products is they require that you integrate multiple systems to make it work for your business. And, you know, you just look at large enterprises 5 years ago. You know, they tried to tie Siebel and SAP together or Siebel and Oracle together, and they spent millions and millions of dollars to do that, and it didn't work. And the reason it didn't work is it's very complicated to tie together applications that weren't designed to work together. So the suite obviously won in the enterprise, and we think for many of the same reasons the suite will win in the on-demand world. In terms of delivering, how you deliver the bits, you know, it varies by industry, the comfort level of using an on-demand solution versus an on-premise solution, but it's pretty clear that what's going on with most companies now is they're looking at on-demand products and they're looking at on-premise products, and the first thing they look at is, does the application solve my problem? I don't care if the bits are delivered from Mars or in a truck, or they have to solve the business problem. If the on-demand and the on-premise applications both solve the business problems, then they look at the delivery model and the costs of those delivery models. So what you're seeing, and why you're seeing on-demand acceptance increase, is the fact that companies like NetSuite have been out there for 8 years now building this functionality. So we solve a lot of problems, a lot more problems than we did. did, say, 5 years ago when we were in our third version of the product. So as we built out the suite functionality and the deeper functionality, suddenly we can address the needs of larger and larger companies and compete more effectively with some of those historical, what I call Stone Age applications. But then also we have this new delivery model, which greatly reduces the cost of owning the application or of leasing the application. And so the combination of those two things, the time to build the application and now the delivery model, are really starting to become the primary way to deliver applications.
And what do you see as sort of the next step for on-demand applications?
I think, you know, in our case, we've built out a very strong model for how we deliver applications. We guarantee availability. I think NetSuite's the only company that actually guarantees availability or your money back on a monthly basis.
And that's worked into your SLAs?
It worked into every contract. It's not a one-off for one customer. Every one of our customers gets a 99.5% service level agreement by month measured on their availability. And so I think you'll start to see, and you should start to see, and customers should demand that their on-demand vendor give them a guaranteed SLA for performance and availability. So I think that's one of the trends that you'll see. And NetSuite's we've been doing that for 4 years. The other area I think you'll see, again, I think it comes down to this point product versus a suite of products. I think that's really the next battle for on-demand software, just as it was fought in the enterprise space around SAP and Siebel and Oracle as to what would become the platform of record. I think you're going to see that as sort of the next battlefield in on-demand. Is it going to be a bunch of point products cobbled together, or is it going to be a suite of applications designed to work together that people opt for?
Well, and NetSuite certainly has an e-commerce piece, and SAP just made some news with their Praxis buy. Could you talk a little bit about how you see e-commerce and CRM tying in together?
Well, I think there are a couple things that CRM systems have historically done very, very poorly. And most importantly, in the internet age, CRM systems were not designed to integrate with your website. But if you look at how most businesses function today, I look at how my business functions, we drive our customers to our website. We ask them to go to our website to reduce costs. We ask them to go there to support themselves. We ask them to go there to find out more information about our products and whatnot. But CRM systems do a horrible job of tracking that customer activity, for example, on the website. What have they done? What's this prospect done on your website? Which things has he downloaded? What have they looked at? So that's one aspect of the NetSuite e-commerce solution, is bringing that data back into the CRM system seamlessly. The second aspect of what we've added in e-commerce and NetSuite is literally the ability to sell on your website. And this is something I think historically CRM systems have not done very well either. You know, if you look at what people have traditionally called CRM, there's a major component that I believe every CRM system should have that traditional CRM systems are missing, and that's order management. You know, I always jokingly say there's only one thing you can't do with most Salesforce automation systems: sell anything. Mm-hmm. And the reason you can't sell anything is because order management is historically a part of the ERP system. But the order is the definition of the customer: what they bought, how it was shipped, what their discount was. So the other important part that NetSuite brings with e-commerce is the ability to capture that order right off your website and bring it into the CRM system, so everyone internally, the support team, the sales team, can see what the customer bought, and then they can do their job more effectively based on that historical purchase information. So those are two very important elements of e-commerce that traditional CRM systems have been unable to really provide visibility into, that NetSuite does effectively for free because of our architecture.
Uh-huh. Well, Salesforce.com has kind of talked a lot recently about its success in large enterprises. Well, SAP have kind of said, well, large enterprise companies won't run all their applications on demand. They require some on-premise presence. I mean, what's your take on the size of a company and how it fits into the software as a service model?
I don't think the fact whether software is delivered on demand or delivered on a disk is really the issue in companies. As I said earlier, I think the most important thing is, does the application solve my business problem? I don't care how the bits. That's the first decision criteria, or should be the first decision criteria, for any company evaluating new software. They really don't go buy it because it's trendy. They buy it because they have enormous business pain. So what they'll do is they'll look at NetSuite, they'll look at Salesforce, they'll look at SAP solutions in that particular area and say, does this solve my problem? Boom. These products solve my problem. Now they start to look at the second layer issues, and quite frankly, how the bits are delivered is a second derivative issue. You have to pass the first hurdle of meeting their functionality. Then you can get down to, okay, this is an on-demand product, this is an on-premise product. What does that mean for my company? if I buy Salesforce.com, I have to integrate with this application. How much does that cost versus NetSuite, where there's no cost for integration? So these are the things that start to drive the decision. It's not that it's not important. The first decision is application functionality first and foremost, and then the second decision is how the bits are delivered and some of the secondary issues. In terms of the competitive landscape, in terms of what's going on in CRM, I think Salesforce will have a very similar challenge to what Siebel faced in large enterprises, and that is the integration with the back office system. As I said, most customer data is held in the ERP system, not in the CRM system. So Salesforce has to go to that accounting system to get that data. And if you look at very large enterprises, Salesforce just announced an SAP R3 connector.
Right.
Well, who do you think is going to do a better job of connecting to R3? SAP or Salesforce? You know, SAP's obvious, their CRM product's obviously going to do a better job of connecting to R3 data than Salesforce's will. So that becomes the challenge then when you start to look at integrating these systems. And that's why the suite ultimately wins. Is the person that owns the company that owns the transactional data over time will largely subsume all the other applications that sit around it, and one of those applications is CRM. And it goes back to why did NetSuite build the back office first? That's because that's where the system of that's the data of record. That's the data that people are trying to get.
But many companies out there these days already have at least one CRM system, one back office system. I mean, when you're talking about a suite, does that mean sort of ripping out the older systems and replacing them, or are you going to ultimately have to integrate with the legacy systems?
Yeah, it all depends on the company you're looking at. You know, NetSuite itself focuses on smaller, mid-sized companies, and the great why we do that is because those companies, the companies that tend to look at a NetSuite-like solution, are companies that are outgrowing their applications already. Their accounting system isn't scaling to meet their growth. Their CRM system isn't scaling to meet their growth. Their e-commerce system needs to be integrated. So when that integration pain pops up, they're ready to replace multiple systems, and that's typically where you will see a NetSuite, is where they're at least thinking about replacing back office and front office or back office and website, those types of things. As a stopgap, a company may, buy multiple systems and try to integrate them together, but as the pain of integration becomes higher and higher in running a business, you see those companies begin to standardize on one vendor. And that's what you saw happen in the large enterprise. You know, they went out and they bought PeopleSoft for support, and they bought Siebel for sales, and they bought SAP for accounting, and they bought BroadVision for their website. And then you know what? None of the systems work together. So they said, okay, we have to start reducing the number of systems in order to manage this effectively. The other major driver, I think, in that regard is Sarbanes-Oxley compliance. And so, you know, you get this notion of there's been a lot of talk about composite applications and how I'm going to be able to buy one app from one guy and it'll easily integrate with another one. Well, first of all, it's anytime you synchronize data, nothing's simple. It's not going to happen that easily. But secondly, you'll never be able to do any compliance if you have... And that one of the major things you see in compliance, if you have 30 systems managing your business, you're going to have a very hard time managing the compliance of that business. So that's another thing driving aggregation of these systems, is purely financial compliance requirements.
Sure.
As I've seen, the number one challenge, and a number of reports have been written on this, the number one challenge in Sarbanes-Oxley compliance is too many systems touching data. So that also is going to drive consolidation of systems. Nothing happens overnight, but certainly if you just look at what happened in the enterprise, consolidation around a couple vendors, particular business applications, you're going to see that even more quickly in small and mid-sized companies.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Sarbanes-Oxley compliance, I mean, two of your competitors, Salesforce and right now, have both gone public in recent years. Can we expect something soon from NetSuite?
Yeah, we're planning on going public in presumably the first half of 2007. You never know, that, you know, the future's unwritten. You don't know what market conditions will be like and everything else. But our business is growing very quickly. We've grown at over 100%, you know, for the last 5 years every year. So we've seen a great acceptance of not only the on-demand model, but this new model of building integrated applications to run businesses rather than point products to run businesses. And I see us continuing to grow, not just in the U.S., but we've had great success now in Europe, and we're just beginning our push into Asia. So we have great opportunities around the globe.
Great. Well, good luck with that. I have one more question for you. I asked Paul Greenberg a similar question when we had him on. So I'll turn to you, knowing you're a big Oakland A's fan. Do you think they really have the pitching and offense to win the division this year, much less a World Series?
Well, I spoke with Billy Bean the other day, and Billy says if they stay stay injury-free, which is the one thing you can't model. And, you know, the Oakland A's are a NetSuite customer, and they're all about running the business on numbers, particularly their player business. And he believes they will win the division if they stay injury-free. So we'll have to see if that's the case, and they certainly have been playing well lately. So as a fan, I hope that to be the case, and if we can keep those players off the DL, I think we'll see them in the playoffs.
All right. Well, Zach, thanks for talking to us today.
Thank you for having me. Thanks.
Well, that concludes our conversation with Zach Nelson. Please continue to turn to searchcrm.com for all your CRM information and for our monthly conversations with luminaries and experts in the market. That's all for now.